We're holding Chof Zion Amud Beis about the by the two dots about the middle of the wide line, one is in Nefesh. We talked in the Mishnah about the Ma'amadais, about the groups of Jews who represented the whole Jewish people. So some of them we said would be in Yerushalayim watching the Korbanos being brought as representatives of the Jewish people, and others would be in different cities around Eretz Yisrael. We said they fasted for 4 days out of the week of their maimed, and every day they would read a section from the Torah from Maaseh Bereishis, because we said that the world continues to exist in the schus of the Karbanos, and when there's no Karbanos, then in the schus of learning in the Torah about them. So therefore that justifies learning about Maaseh Bereishis in connection with the Karbanos. So we said in the Mishnah, by Yom Rishon Bereishis v'hi Rakiya, that on the first, that every day they would read the parasha from Chumash that describes what Hashem created that day of the week, as well as the next one. So we said Bereishis, so we said on the first day they would read the section beginning Bereishis and the section beginning v'hi Rakiya. And the Mishnah goes on to say that when you have that, so you have some of the descriptions of the days of Maaseh Bereishis are longer, some are shorter. The longer ones we said are split up among two olim. Good morning, Ali. So we said the longer ones are split up among two olim. The shorter ones of three or four psukim are given to one olim. So Bayom Rishon Bereishis v'hirakia. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Bereishis b'shnayim v'hirakia be'echad. The way it worked was that the parasha beginning Bereishis is given to two olim, and the one beginning Yehirakia is given to one olim. So thus you have three. So the Gemara says, "Bishlemi Yehirakia be'echad." So what's the psuki have? Okay, I understand how Yehirakia is given to one olim. It's exactly three psukim. That's the minimum you need for a person to learn. Ela Bereishis v'shnayim my timer. But how could it be that you, my time, usually means what's the reason, but that's not really the question over here, which is why it's in parenthesis, it doesn't really belong necessarily. So how could you have two olim in the section of Bereishis? Hey, psukim havyan. You have only five psukim in the description of Yom Rishon, Yom Echad, Utnan, or Vatanya, Hakoda Batura, Yuchis Megimel Psukim, that when a person lanes, he should lane not less than three psukim. So how do you get two Elias out of five psukim? So the answer is Rav Amad Doylev Ushmul Amad Poise. So Rav says what they're going to do is they're going to skip backwards. The first Oyla is, or the Koyin, is going to be given the three psukim, ending with Vayhi Or. Then the second Oyla, the Levi, is going to start over again from the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, from Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, and read that as well as Pasuk Dalet and Hey. So that way each one is laning three psukim. We have a similar machlokas. We're going to have in Masechta Megillah in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, we're going to have a similar machlokas as far as what we, or not really a similar machlokas, we're going to have a similar situation when it comes to the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, we lane the sections about the Korban Tamid and the Korbanos of Shabbos in Rosh Chodesh. There are actually enough psukim to fit four olim, which is what we need on Rosh Chodesh. You have four olim, so you need at least 12 psukim. You have 15, but the parashiyos are structured in such a way that it also becomes necessary to go backwards and have this and have one and have the and have the second ola repeat a pasuk from the first one, which is how we do. So Rav says the same thing you do over here when it comes to this kriya of the ma'amadis is you have the second ola repeat the last pasuk that the first ola read. Ushmul on a posik, Shmuel says, no, what you do is you split the third pasuk in half. So the first Ola does the psukim Bereishis and Va'aratoisa Sohuvavayu. Then the first half of the pasuk by Yomer Elokim Yehi Or. And then he stops there. Then the second Ola continues from the middle of that pasuk by Yehi Or and continues with psukim Dalet and Hey. So the Gemara says, V'rav do'om adolig my time alay om a pasuk. Why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel's idea of dividing the pasuk? And the answer is kasava, because Rav holds kol psukim like paskin Moshe and none like paskinim. When a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not divide, like this, the Torah was given to us with the Torah was given to us divided into psukim, and not parakim. By the way, those were the divisions of parakim were invented by, and the numbering of them was invented by Goyim much later, but the division of where each pasuk begins and ends, that comes from Moshe together with the Torah. So therefore, so Rav says, we can't just arbitrarily divide a pasuk against that. So therefore we can't divide the pasuk in half. Or Shmuel of a posuk. Now we said that Shmuel says that we do divide the pasuk. So the question is, how are we allowed to do that? Doesn't Rab have a point? You're not allowed to split a pasuk in half. Rav Chanina Kora said, Kora means that he was an expert in Tanakh. Rashi says he was a Baal Mikra. He knew it very, very well. He was Baki in the trup of it as well. So Rav Chanina Kora said, Tsar Godol Hoyoli Eitzor Rav Chanina HaGodol. I had tremendous trouble with Rav Chanina HaGadol, meaning I went many times to ask him this shaila, and I could never to get a heter for this. He never gave me a heter to divide up a pasuk ella l'tinokas shabbos rabban, only when I'm teaching children, because children it's too difficult to read one pasuk to read a whole pasuk at a time. So therefore, Rav Chanina HaGadol said, gave him a heter when you're teaching children, you can teach them a partial pasuk at a time. But for adults, or pashtos, and maybe even for older children, then no, you have to say a whole pasuk at a time. By the way, Azman Groma, there was the daily division of Tanakh that I set up, which actually begins again today on Vav Tevis and ends on the one year one ends on Hey Tevis, and then there's the 3 month one. So Azman Groma that we're talking about over here, expertise in Tanakh, where that starts today again. So the point is, so he gave a heter to divide it up for tzedakah shabbos rabban hoyel ole slamed asuyin, because you're teaching it to them. They're not really saying the psukim to be yotze or anything, and they can't say a whole pasuk at a time. So for them, he gave a heter to do a partial pasuk, but otherwise not. So how is Shmuel saying that you're allowed to divide up the pasuk and have the first oila have 2.5 psukim and the next oila 2.5 psukim? So the answer is a Shmuel. Hossam time a Shmuel. So what's Shmuel going to answer to that? He would say, Hossam time am I. You know why we're saying that you know why Rav Chanina HaGadol allowed them to divide it for Tinoch Shabbos Shabbat? Mishum Delay Efshir. That's not possible otherwise, because otherwise you're not going to be able to teach the kids at all, because they can't learn a whole pasuk at a time. Well, Shmuel says, fine, Hachanami Lay Efshir. Well, over here, it's also impossible any other way. He doesn't hold of Rav's point that we should be doylig for reason, as Rav said, that we should go backwards one pasuk for reasons that the Gemara is going to say in a second. So therefore he says that in this case you have no choice but to divide the pasuk. By the way, we do have many times in davening where we divide a pasuk and we say only a part of a pasuk, only the first half or only the second half. We have in the Sheish Schiris, a few of them are partial pasukim. Laman tizko siem tzeischa. Me'eretz Mitzrayim is only a partial pasuk, for example, and we say it in the Sheish Schiris and also in the Agoda. V'yivorech Hashem kvodecha umreim makabracha usila, that we say in Vayivorech David is also a half a pasuk. There's a lot of places in davening where we say half pasukim or partial pasukim. And there's a huge number of answers from different rishonim and achronim how such a thing is allowed given what it says, given what it's saying in our Gemara. Maybe it doesn't apply to ksuvim. Maybe it doesn't apply when you're saying it as part of davening, as opposed to when you're leaning it. Over here, we're talking about to lean or to learn it. Maybe in particular, it doesn't apply when the other half of the pasuk that we're not saying has something of gnus, something not quite so positive in it. Which, for example, is why we start off kiddush yom hashishi, or the velt begins by yerev by yivoker yom hashishi. They leave off the first half of the pasuk because by yara v'kimas kol asher also v'hine toiv ma'od. The gemara the medrash darshens on it that toiv ma'od zeh hamavas. So therefore, we don't want to say that. Or we have, for example, the Rebbe pointed out when it comes to Laman Tizkor, or rather when it comes to L'Yom Asher Amad Tal L'Pnei Hashem L'Kecha B'Choriv, whatever, one of those psukim over there also, here, the pause actually in one of the Sheish Skidus, Choriv Tishkach, Eis Asher Tzafka, Hashem L'Kecha B'Midbar, and the pause continues with something negative about the Jewish people, so therefore that would be a reason not to say that. And there's a variety of different reasons. Dayan Raskin has in the back of his edition of the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, he has notes on this concept where we have many places in davening where we give only half a pasuk, and he gives and he gives all these reasons and many more, and sees how they apply in each one of the individual cases. Okay, so Shmuel says that this is one of those examples where we would do that. So now Shmuel on a pasuk, my time loy on a doleg. Fine, but why doesn't he agree with Rav and say that we should go one pasuk back rather than having to divide the pasuk? Better we should do like Rav is saying and have the second Oyla repeat one pasuk from the first one. And he says, you can't gzeira mishum anachnasin or gzeira mishum hayotzin. Because you make a gzeira, and the Chachamim made a gzeira not to do that because of people who come in or out in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Namely, in general, the rule is, we're going to learn about it in more detail in Masechta Megillah, that you don't begin or end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break, because people are not going to realize, people are going to think that you're allowed to have an aliyah of only one or two psukim. So the same thing over here, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to walk in the middle, he's going to hear the second oyla beginning by Yomer the King Yehir. He's going to think that the first oyla only had two psukim, so he's going to think in the future that an aliyah is valid of only two psukim. And vice versa, if the Kohen is doing until up to and including by Yehir, plus a Gimel, and then he leaves, he's going to think that the next oyla is only going to be doing psukim Dalet and Hay. So therefore, so you can't do that, so Shmuel says better, we should break off the pasuk in the middle. By the way, Pnei Yeshua asks, so why don't we just say, okay, you know, so on the first day, instead of just doing the psukim of the first and second day of Maaseh Bereishis, fine, we'll do the third day as well. And that way we have enough psukim to cover everybody without being doleg or posim. And he says, because some of the other days, you don't need that. For example, when it comes to Wednesday, for example, you have enough psukim between the description of the creations of Yom Revi and Yom Chamishi to anyway cover two aliyahs. So there you don't need to do the third one. So now we don't want kina b'maisa bereshis. We don't want that some days we're going to be doing three days worth of maisa bereshis and other days two. We want to make it consistent. All of them are going to be 2 days worth. Okay. The Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that you're able to be doleg or posik, but we learn in a braisa, parasha shel shisha psukim koronos b'shnayim, when you have, throughout the rest of the year, when you have a parasha, meaning a parasha psukha or stoma, that contains six psukim, koronos b'shnayim, then you're able to split it up among two olim, each one can get three psukim, v'shel chamisha b'yachid, if you have one of only five psukim, then you have to have a yachid read it, you can't split it up into two aliyahs. What if you do want to split it up into two olim? So then the first one, if the first one reads three psukim, commit, then the second one reads the remaining two psukim and at least one postik of the next parasha, but the yesh omrim gimel, but yesh omrim, that doesn't work, and he has to read three psukim from the next parasha. Because, like we said, you can't start an aliyah and do less than three psukim of a parasha. So the question is, we have Rav and Shmuel over here saying that even with a parasha of five psukim, you have alternatives. You have doleg and posik. So why do we need to say that this hypothetical parasha of five psukim needs to davka be given to one ola? And it can't be split up into two. And if we do, then we have to take steps to mitigate that. Lamanda omadolig lidlog. So according to Rav, who says you can go one pasuk back, why don't we do that? Why don't we have this next ola repeat one pasuk from the previous one? And that way five psukim will work for two olim. Lamanda omadolig lipstick. And according to Shmuel, that you could be posik, that you could divide in the middle of a pasuk, then you should do that. And the answer is shiny hosen de islay Ravcha. The difference is when you're talking the rest of the year, you have plenty of room. Because let's say, for example, you're talking about the Kriya of Monday or Thursday. So fine, instead of just reading the first section of that week's parasha, you can always read the next section as well. Fine, it all belongs to this week's parasha. You can go as far into the parasha as you need until you have enough psukim for the oilin. Over here, we're constrained by the fact that you're only going to have the Kriya of today's day of Maaseh Bereishis and the next day. So therefore, with that constraint, then we have to do doleg or posik. But when we're reading on Monday and Thursday, so then, for example, exactly that. So let's say when we're coming to read on Monday and Thursday, of Parshas Bereishis, let's say, instead of saying that the first section for Yom Rishon, instead of dividing that between the Kohen and the Levi, we'll give the whole thing of five psukim to the Kohen, the whole next thing, the whole second day, we'll give to the Levi, and for the Yisrael, we can read what Hashem did on Yom HaShlishi. No problem with that. It all belongs to this week's parasha anyway. So therefore, even Rav and Shmuel, in other words, are going to agree that where we have alternatives, we shouldn't be doylig or posik. Only over here, where we don't have an alternative, we're constrained. We have to do only 2 days of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Then therefore, they have their machlokes. That's what we do in this case. Okay. And the halacha is like Rav and these kinds of things. So when you have such a thing, then doylig, which is what we do on Rosh Chodesh as well, as we'll learn about in Megillah in a few weeks' time, Bez Hashem. Then we said in the Mishnah, Parasha Gdola Koronos B'Shnayim, we said that a long parasha, for example, the one that has five or six or whatever, we divide it among two aliyahs. And we said a shorter one we do in one aliyah. And then we said, B'Shachris over Musaf over Mincha Koron Alpiyan. We said by Shachris and by Musaf and by Mincha, they read it by heart. So where is the punctuation in the Mishnah? Iboilu, Heichi Karma. What does the Mishnah mean? B'shachris of a musaf koronos of a sefer. Do we mean that when the anshei maimed gather together for shachris, and again when they daven for musaf? Now, again, we said according to the Rambam, musaf over here does not mean what we think of as tefillas musaf, where we talk about the extra korbanos of the day, because the Mishnah seems to be implying that they davened it every day. So the Rambam understands that musaf over here means an extra tefillah that the anshei maimed would daven between shachris and mincha. So it would have the same basic structure of every other tefillah, or b'pashtus, it had 19 brachas in it, just like every other Shemoneh Esrei, but it was called tefillas musaf because they weren't davening it as they weren't davening it as shachris or as mincha, but something in between. So does the Mishnah mean that they would during their shachris tefillah, they would take out the Sefer Torah and read these psukim, and then again during their Musaf tefillah, they would do that as well from a Sefer Torah, and then over Mincha Koronos Al Pek Koronos Shema, and then when they gather together later in the day for Mincha, then instead of taking out the Sefer Torah again, then they would read it by heart, like the way we say Shema. Is that what the Mishnah means? Or maybe the period in the Mishnah is supposed to go before the word over Musaf rather than after it. And then what it means is, v'shachris koronos of a sefer, and by shachris, they read it out of a sefer Torah, over musaf, over mincha, koronos al peka koronos shema. And then by musaf and mincha, they say it by heart, like when you're saying shema. So where does the period in the Mishnah go, before or after the word of a musaf? So, toshma, the Tanya, we can prove from a braisa. V'shachris over musaf, michnosin leves haknesses, shachris and musaf, they come into shul with Koran Kedesh, Koran Kalashana, and they read from the Torah like the way you read throughout the year, meaning from a Sefer Torah. Mincha, Yachid Korah Osar Peh, by Mincha, they don't take out a Sefer Torah. Instead, one member of the Tzibur, one member of the Maimed, reads it by heart and is Motzi everybody else. So we see clearly that the Mishnah means the same kind of thing, therefore, so Uva Musaf goes to the first part of the sentence, so it means that they did this reading from a Sefer Torah by Shachris and by Musaf. And the Braisa continues, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Yachid Yachal Likris Divrei Torah Al Peh B'Tzibur. Since when is a Yachid allowed to read Divrei Torah by heart for the Tzibur and be Motzi them? So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, it can't be that a Yachid says it Al Peh and is Motzi everybody. Elor Kulam Nichnosen, Rechonos Al Peh. Rather, if not just one person says it, everybody, when they gather in Shul for Mincha, they all say these Psukim Al Peh, Rechonos Shema, like the way when you say Shema. The point is that we see from the Braisa that it's clearly saying that this takes place only by Mincha, showing therefore that in the Mishnah also, when it says about Musaf, means that Musaf also, they take out the Sefer Torah and Lane. So again, according to other Rishonim, Musaf would mean, in other words, we don't mean every day, we mean on a day when there's Musaf, for example, Rosh Chodesh. And according to the Rambam, it means every single day, because every day they're davening an extra tefillah between Shachris and Mincha. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kol Yom Sheyesh by Hallel Ein by Maimon Kola. We said in the Mishnah that we had Rabbi Akiva's opinion of what happens on days when there are special additions to davening. And then we said Ben Azai informed him that Rabbi Yeshua learns differently. So we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva had said that on a day when there's Hallel, then there's no Maimed in Shachris. On a day when there's a Korban Musaf, there's no Maimed in Ne'ilah. And when on a day when there's a korban eitzim, which we're going to discuss soon about the korban eitzim, then there's no maimed in mincha. And then Ben Azai told him that Rabbi Yeshua flips the last two around. By korban musaf, there's no maimed in mincha. By korban eitzim, there's no maimed in ne'ilah. So the Gemara asks, ma hefesh bein zelazeh? Why is it that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the korban eitzim pushes off the maimed of ne'ilah, but not the one of mincha? Whereas Musaf would be pushing off the Maimed of Mincha. So Rashi learns, in other words, that each one is pushing off only one Maimed. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says a different Lashon, that Musaf pushes off, that Musaf pushes off. There's no Maimed by Mincha, and Korban Eitzim does not push off Mincha, implying, in other words, and then from that, in the next Tosfos, it implies, in other words, they're saying that Musaf would actually push off two things, Mincha and Ne'ilah. So there are a few different opinions among Rishonim what exactly the Mishnah means and what exactly the Gemara means, what pushes off what. The reason why they push them off, by the way, we said, is because, for example, when they're saying Hallel, that takes extra time, so now they don't have time for the extra Ma'amodos by Shachris. And the same thing when it comes to Musaf and Korban Eitzim. So what's the difference? Why is it that Musaf pushes off Mincha, pushes off Maimed by Mincha, prevents there being Maimed by Mincha, according to Rabbi Yeshua, and Korban Eitzim only prevents there being Maimed by Ne'ilah? What's the difference? The difference is Halalu Divrei Torah v'Halalu Divrei Sofrim. The difference is that one is Divrei Torah and the other one is Divrei Sofrim. So Rashi explains that Mincha is considered Divrei Torah. Now, not that the Tefillah of Mincha itself is Min HaTorah. The fact that we have three times a day Tefillah is only Dirabbanan. What we mean is, though, that the concept of davening, it comes from a pasuk in the Torah, because it says in the pasuk that Yitzchak went l'suach basodah l'fnois orev, that he went to speak in the field towards the evening, which means that he was the first to daven Mincha. So that has more of a basis in the Torah, whereas Ne'ilah is completely midivrei sofrim. So we're less likely to push off Maimed by Mincha than we are by Ne'ilah, where Ne'ilah is completely dirabbanan. Tosfos says, in other words, therefore, the idea is that we're focusing not so much on the tefillah, we're focusing on what causes the thing to be pushed away in the first place. Musaf is more min haTorah. Again, the tefillah of Musaf is dirabbanan, but the Musafim themselves are min haTorah, as opposed to Korban Eitzim is completely midivrei sofrim. So therefore, it's weaker, and therefore it pushes off only Ne'ilah. Rabbi Gershom has a different girsa, which Rashi mentions this girsa, but rejects it, that divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk. So Rabbi Gershom understands the other way around, that when there's a korban musaf, then there's no ma'amodis in Ne'ilah, because korban musaf being daraisa, or at least the musafim themselves being daraisa, so therefore it doesn't need more chizuk. So therefore it's enough for it to prevent there being a maimed by Ne'ilah, as opposed to korban eitzim, which is dirabbanan, needs to be strengthened, needs to be reinforced, and we reinforce it by making it strong enough to push off maimed by mincha. Okay, but that however you understand, according to Rashi or Tosfos or Rabbeinu Gershom, though that's the difference why one is stronger than another. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Zman Atze Koinim Va'amukhula. So we said that there were 9 days during the year when the Koinim and the people would be bringing wood to the Beis Mikdash, and we listed the various families that bring wood. So Tanan Abanan, Lama Hutzru Choloim Zman Atze Koinim Va'am. Why did the Chachamim need to establish such days? After all, a person can bring wood as a personal korban whenever they want. So why are there certain defined days when they brought wood? So they said, Sha'olu Bnei Agoila, when the people from Bavel came to Eretz Yisrael to start rebuilding the second Beis Mikdash, Loi Motsu Eitzim Malishka. There was no wood available in the Lishka, and you need a lot of wood to burn the Korbanos. But Omdu Eluvis, Nadvu Mishalahem, so these families that I mentioned in the Mishnah came and volunteered on their own that they were going to give wood. And therefore, so now, if it had just been that, it would have been a one-time thing. But the Kachisnu Nevi'im Shebeinehen, the Nevi'im at that time made a t'nai that we're going to make it an annual thing, and Shafilu Lishka Malaya Eitzim, even if in future years the Lishka is full of wood, so that the Beis Mikdash has enough wood supply to last for a long time, and they don't need. Nevertheless, you, Avim, Isnadvin, Mishalahem, these families are going to have the privilege of volunteering and bringing wood of their own. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, they would also make it, these families each would make it a Yom Tov for themselves. And they'd bring karbonas on it, and they'd make a day of simcha of it. Shenema, as the Pasuk in Nehemiah described it, we made gerolos about the korban ha'etzim to determine who gives when. Hakoinim ha'alavim va'am. This was done by the koinim and levim and the rest of the people. Lahavi levesa lekenu, that we should bring to the house of Hashem, levesa veseinu, to the house of our ancestors, meaning the Beis Mikdash, which our ancestors davened and brought korbanos in as a holy place, and now we're doing the same thing again. Leitim mizumonim, at fixed times, shana b'shana, year by year, levar al mizbeach Hashem lekenu, that we're going to bring wood to burn on the mizbeach of Hashem. Hakosa b'Torah, as it says in the Torah. So therefore, every year these families would have the privilege of bringing wood on their defined day. By the way, we have to remember, of course, a family for this purpose doesn't mean like we think of as a family, a tati, a mommy, and a couple of kids. It means more like what in English we would call a clan, like a whole bunch of related families that all descend from a common ancestor 100 or 200 or whatever it is years ago. So the psukim in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah mention over there a lot of such families that came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and it says the numbers of them. This family had X number of people. This family had X number of people, etc. So those are the families we're talking about. We sometimes have these families are hundreds or even thousands of people. So those families in that generation and in future generations would be the ones who are bringing wood. Okay. And we said then there came one of the days. We said it was Chamisha Asaba Av, the 15th of Av, and we said so there was a family of Zatu from the Shevet Yehuda, that it was their day to bring wood. And we said, we said they were accompanied on that day also by Kohenim and Levim and anybody who didn't know what Shevet is from. And we said that also with them, also bringing wood on that day to the Beis Mikdash was Bnei Goinve Eli and Bnei Koitzik Tzias. So what are they? So Amru, so they explain like this. Hamach was Gozram. So literally, Goinve Eli means they steal the Eli. And Eli, we learned in the Masechta Beita, is a large, heavy piece of wood that's used. They would usually use it for grinding or pounding grain. Sometimes you could also use it as a cutting board. Kotzek Tzias literally means the ones who would cut. That literally means the ones who would cut up dried figs. That a special kind of knife that they would use to cut up dried figs in order to make a gulay dvela, in order to make cakes of pressed figs out of them. So what are these going? What are these bnei going ve'eli and bnei kotzek Tzias? Amru. So they said, Pamach has gozra malchus gzera al Yisrael. One time the government made a gzera against the Jewish people. Shelo yaviu etzim l'maracha, that they should not be allowed to bring wood for the wood pile of the mizbeach, the shaloyah view bikurim liyushalayim, and that they should not bring bikurim to Yerushalayim. Why did they focus davka on those two? So Maharsha says because those two were done with tremendous simcha. So they were trying to break the spirit of the Jewish people. Therefore they were outlawing these two things, which particularly are done with great simcha. Boishivu pruzdoi saladrachim. They set up watchmen on the roads. Kederach Shahoshiv Yeravam and Nevat, similar to the way many years earlier Yeravam and Nevat had set up guards Shalayala Yisrael Lerego, where he wanted to prevent the Jewish people from being Ola Lerego, because we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains he was afraid that if they go to the Beis Mikdash, they're going to see Rechavam, the king of Yehuda, sitting in the Azara, and he's not because he's not from Malchus Beis David, and he's not allowed to, and people are going to think Rechavam is a legitimate king, and he's not. B'chola v'chola, so therefore he set up his Egle Hazahav in Beis Elan and Don. He outlawed people going to Yerushalayim, and he set up watchmen to guards on the road to prevent people from going. Ad kedekach, even it says in some places that these guards would actually kill people who tried to get through. So now we're saying many years later, a government did the same thing. Actually, the Yerushalmi says this story that we're going to tell now about the Goinve Eli and Kotzik Tzias was actually in the time of Yerovam. So according to that, it's not like Yerovam did. This is when Yerovam did it. On the other hand, our Gemara seems to be saying that it was in a later time. Maharsha says it was the Greeks who did that. So therefore, it's not in the time of Yerovam and Nevat. It's a few hundred years later. Anyway, ma osuk sheirin shaba'osa derv yurechet. What did the kosher people and the yurechet, people who few averus, in that generation do? On the bottom over here, it says really the girsa should be sheirin the yurechet shaba'osa derv. Whatever the case, so what did they do? They wanted to bring bikurim to Yerushalayim. Hevir sale bikurim. They would bring baskets of bikurim, which bikurim consists of the shivas aminim specifically. V'chipum b'ktzias. They would cover the fresh fruit in the basket with dried figs. V'notbum, and they would take them along in the basket. V'eli al kisvehem. They would also carry with them. They would also carry with them an eli, which again is this big heavy piece of wood that usually you use for pounding grain and things like that. So now when they would meet up with the guards, and the guards would ask them, where are you going? They wouldn't tell them they're going to Yerushalayim, of course. They would tell them, we're going to make a couple of cakes of dried figs, using b'machteshes shalofanenu. Ahead of us on the road is somebody who has a machteshes, somebody who has a mortar. We're bringing along our own eli, our own pounder, to use to pound the figs so that we can make them into an eagle dvela. An eagle dvela is, we have it throughout Shas, it's a cake where they would take dried figs and press and cut them and press them very tightly together to make it. Would be like, then you have this big hard round thing of dried figs, and then you would break off pieces or cut off pieces when you want to eat some. So they're saying that we're going to do that. We don't have a machteshes of our own, so we're going to someplace further down the road where they have a machteshes. We brought along our own eli, our own big piece of wood to pound them, and we're gonna use it on these fruit and on the fruit in this basket, these dried figs. So the guards would let them through; they have no problem with that. So now those people are called goinvei eli. They stole, meaning they stole their way through. They tricked the guards using the eli, using the big piece of wood, the pounder. Kivin sha'avru mehem. Once they passed by the guards, itrim basalim. They would decorate their bikurim. The Mishnah in bikurim describes how you have, there's a way to arrange when you bring multiple different types of fruit for bikurim. There's a way to arrange them in the basket so they look the most, they look nicest. And then you also decorate them with, you have birds with them that you bring as korbanos as well. So they would do that in the baskets. Ve'avim liyushalayim, and then they would bring the bikurim to Yerushalayim. So now we're saying those people who had the schus, they would have the schus also now of bringing wood to the Beis Hamikdash in commemoration of that every year on Tu B'Av. Marsha points out that actually what it is they didn't just let the eli go to waste either. The eli was also, they would break it up and use that for firewood for the Beis Hamikdash. So this way they're bringing both. They're bringing bikurim as well as wood. And therefore, so he says actually that's why they're called kotzik tzias. He says kotzik tzias means also that they cut up. Because what they did is they cut up, they broke up the eli, this big heavy pounder of wood, and they made it into smaller pieces of wood that are used for the ma'aracha. So they had both. Tana, we learn in a brisa, hein b'nei samoy hanatayfasim. They are, meaning Rashi says they're not the same people, but a similar kind of thing was done by the descendants of samoy hanatayfasim. So they're called Salmoi. We're going to say Meloshin Sulam, Meloshin Ladders, as we're going to talk about in a minute. Hanatayfasi could be the name of a place. The Yoshami actually has calls them Hanatayfasi, which means Meloshin Nith, Meloshin Notat, like Notat is a bias, which means to tear down, because we're going to say they would make ladders and then they would break them apart. Anyway, so they did the same thing. So Rashi says, doesn't mean they're the same people. It means that these kind of people did the same kind of thing, evading the guards with a trick like that, as we're going to describe in a second. The Bar Tanura on the Mishnah says it means it was actually the same groups. Anyway, so what are Bnei Samoy Hanatayfasi? Tanurabon and Mahin Bnei Samoy Hanatayfasi. Omru, they said, Pamachas Gozer Amachus Zerau Yisrael Shalayavu Eitzim Lamaracha. One time the government, again, it could be the government of Yeravim and Nevat, it could be the government of the Greeks, whatever it is, they made a Xera that they shouldn't bring wood for the wood pile of the Beis Mikdash. So they put guards on the roads so that people, like the way Yeravim and Nevat did, that people should not be oiled the regal. So here they had guards to prevent people going through with wood for the Beis Mikdash. Ma also yirei chet shabaisa der. So what are the people who fear averus
in that time, what do? Mal Shaw points out, by the way, the previous group, who, according to him, according to his explanation, we said they brought both Bikurim and Wood, so they got a double title, Sheirim and Yurechet. These ones that we're describing over here brought only Wood, therefore they got only the one title, Yurechet. Anyway, what do? Heviu Gzirehen, they took their pieces of wood that they want to bring to the Bismikdash, but also Sulamos, they made their ladders out of the wood, they put the ladders on their shoulders and started going. Kivanchi Gyu Etzlan, when they would reach the guards, the guards would ask them, where are you going? Omrilahem. So they would tell them, Lahobi Gozolis, we're going to use these ladders to go and climb up and get some young bird. Mishoivach shalafanenu. There's a birdhouse ahead of us on the road. We learned about a shoivach, for example, in the Masechta Beitza. It's a birdhouse with a bunch of individual compartments in it where birds go and nest for a while. So we're going to, there's a birdhouse ahead of us on the road. We're going over there to go get some birds. Over Salamis, shalafasfenu. The birdhouses are high up, so we're bringing along ladders in order to be able to climb up. So, Kivin said they would let them do. Kivin over my hand. Once they passed the guards, Pirkum, then they would take the ladders apart. The Helum Yerushalayim, and they would bring the wood to Yerushalayim, and they would have wood for the Ma'arach. So therefore, they're called Bnei Samloi Hanatei Fasi Samloi Meloshin Sulam, because they tricked the guards using ladders. And again, Hanatei Fasi could mean the name of a place where they were from, where such people were from, or it could mean Hanatei Tzasi, really, where they used to break apart the ladders. Why Dafka ladders, by the way, Iyun Yaakov on Ein Yaakov says, because if they made, why Dafka ladders, they could make, for example, furniture with it or something. And he says, because we know that wood for the Mizbeach was not allowed to have worms in it. Now, other kinds of things that you might use wood for, you wouldn't mind so much if there were some wormholes in it, but you would never do that with ladders, of course, because you don't want the ladder to fall apart while you're standing on it. Therefore, when they had ladders over there and the guards would inspect the ladders and see no wormholes in it, they wouldn't be suspicious. Hey, but yeah, this is also the kind of wood that's usable for the Mizbeach, because they'd say to themselves, well, of course they're not using wood with wormholes in it. They wouldn't want to trust their lives to such a ladder. There's an acute vote from the Vilna Gaon on this. He says you have a remez to this in Chumash when it describes in the parasha of the Ma'arocha, which we say every morning, Dabrel Aaron Valbon of Lema Zois Torah Sa'ola, and we talk about the wood on the Mizbeach. The Kohen burns wood on the Mizbeach every morning. The trup on the words, and Oleha HaKohen are Darga Tvir. Darga Tvir literally means broken steps. So therefore, it hints at this story over here where they took the ladders and the steps and the ladders and broke them apart in order to provide wood for the Ma'arach. Anyway, so they also had this chus now on Tesvav B'av of bringing wood every year to the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, "Ba'aleim ba'kayotze b'hem," about them and about other people like them who were moisen nefesh to keep up Yiddishkeit. Who are mezeichat tzaddik lebracha? They're the ones about whom the pasuk says the memory of the tzaddik should be for a bracha. Va'yuravim, but ben nevat mechaberav nemar. Meanwhile, about Yuravim ben nevat and other people like him who tried to prevent people from going to Yerushalayim and bringing korbanos and so forth, it says on them the end of that same pasuk, "V'shem rishoyim yukav," the name of the rishoyim should rot. Marsha says, in other words, the point is, we don't even know the individual names of these people who did this, who brought the Bikurim and who brought the wood using these various kinds of tricks. But just the fact that we remember the names of the groups, Goin Ve'eli, Koitzik Tzias, Samoy, Hanatei Fasi, that itself is a bracha for them. On the other hand, we're saying the names of the Rishoyim, we know their actual names, for example, Yeravam and Nevat, but not only their Zecher, but even their name itself, Rot, we don't use those names even to name children. We went through the list in the Mishnah of the various days when the different families bring their korban eitzim. We said be'esrim boy on the 20th of Av, b'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda. So you had the family of Pachas Moav from Shevet Yehuda had their turn to bring wood. So who is that? Tana, we learn in a b'raisa, b'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda, hein b'nei David ben Yehuda, divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says this is a family who were descended from David HaMelech. Why is it called Pachas Moav? So Pachas means a governor or a minister, like you have, for example, in Megillas Esther, You have also whatever you have in different places in the Megillah where it uses the word pachos, I mean governors or ministers or whatever. So pachas Moav means the governor of Moav. So David is called that because his family is descended from Rus HaMoaviah. So Reb Meir says that this family of pachas Moav are the descendants of David. Reb Yossi, I mean, hein hein b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. Reb Yossi says they're descended from Yoav ben Tzruya, who was David's general, and he was actually David's nephew. Tosfos refers to that Rashi and Tosfos both mention that Tzruya, the mother of Yoav, was David's sister. So therefore, Yoav is David's nephew, so he's also descended from Rus. So therefore, Reb Yossi says that justifies calling his family b'nei pachas Moav. There's a Sicha in Chelik Dalet and another related Sicha in Chelik Tes, where the Rebbe analyzes this and says, so what is it? It's not a machlokes in Metzius. The answer is there was a family that was blended. There were members of David's descendants, that there were David's descendants that intermarried with descendants of Yoav, and from them came this family. So the Meir and Rabbi Yossi are arguing basically which strain in the family was the dominant one, David's type of avodah or Yoav's type. And the Rebbe explains the 20th of Av. Now the Gemara, we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta that the 15th of Av was the deadline for cutting wood for the Ma'aracha. Because after that, the power of the sun is weaker, and therefore the wood is not going to dry out as well, and therefore there might be worms in it. So therefore, now this 20th of Av, and of course the Rebbe used to fabring on it because of Chof Av, it's Reb Levi Yitzchak, but anyway, so he would point out many times that the 20th of Av, therefore, so the family that brought on that day has a special schus. They're the first ones who have to prepare the wood long in advance of their day. Everybody else, all the other families so far, could even finish cutting their wood on their defined day if necessary. But this family is the first one that has to make sure that it's available in advance. So now you have David's main thing was learning Torah. Yoav's main thing was fighting David's wars, which represents Avodas Abirurim. So now Reb Meir and Reb Yossi are arguing which one of those factors was more dominant in this family and in the schus that they have. Was it the fact that they're descended from David, the one who focused on learning Torah, or that they're descended from Yoav, the one who focused on Avodas Abirurim of fighting against the Ra in the world and conquering it and transforming it as needed? So the Mishnah had continued the Esrim be'Elul b'nei Odin ben Yehuda v'chola. That the next one was the 20th of Elul was the family of Odin from Shevet Yehuda would be the ones to bring the wood. So again, Tana Rabbanan b'nei Odin ben Yehuda hein b'nei David ben Yehuda divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yehuda says that Odin is a family descended from David HaMelech. Rabbi Yossi hein b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. Rabbi Yossi says they're descended from Yoav ben Tzruya. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, you have two families back to back that are descended from Yoav ben Tzruya, who one of them would bring on the 20th of Av, and another one on the 20th of Elul. Here also, there's a sicha from one of the later years where they never talked about the idea that, now why would we use Odin as a name for David? First of all, Rashi explains, because of the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, where it starts by describing the mighty men, the great, the elite units in David's army, and it mentions over there someone named Adinoy Ha'etni, which the Gemara in the Gemara in Moed Katan tells us actually refers to David HaMelech himself. So Odin Adinoy is basically the same thing. The word Odin means to curl himself up. So when he's learning Torah, he would curl up. Like a worm. In other words, he's sitting maybe even very uncomfortably and being able to fartifsich and Torah, as opposed to, but very flexible and pliable. When he went to war, he was ha'etzni, he was strong and unyielding like wood. So therefore, Odin would be a name for David, and Rabbi Yossi understands that it's a name for Yoav. So there's also a sicha where that everyone's talked about. During Av, a person is more, a person might be more in the mode of pachas Moav, where he feels his lowliness. He's descended from Moav, but by the time he comes to Elul, which is the time when Melech Basada, then he feels himself that he's on a closer level. He feels himself that he's on the level to be learning Torah, to be partifing Zichin Torah, like David HaMelech did, and to be called by the name Odin, which represents that mentality and that posture that he would sit and learn Torah. Then we said in the Mishnah, Be'echad b'Tevis shovel b'nei Parish shniyachula. We said on the first of Tevis, the family of Parish had a second time to bring wood, because we said We said that B'nai Parosh, we said their defined day to bring wood for the Mizbeach, we said in the Mishnah, was on the fifth of Av. Then on the seventh, you have another family, Yonadab ben Rechav. So now B'nai Parosh have another turn a few months later where they're bringing wood from Rosh Chodesh Tevis through Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we said they came back a second time, implying, in other words, that every other family that we listed until now, it was only the one time that they did it, only B'nai Parosh had two. The Gemara says, Mani Mas Nisin. Well, then who is our Mishnah like? Loy Rav Meir, V'loy Rav Yehuda, V'loy Rav Yosi. It doesn't seem to be like any of the three Tanoim that we just listed. Because E Rav Meir, if it's according to Rav Meir said that B'nai Pachas Moyov are the descendants of David. Now, the descendants of David were already listed on the 20th of Tammuz. So, if the Mishnah was according to Rav Meir, listening Shavu B'nai David Ben Yehuda Shnia, then it should say that the family of David had two turns, one on the 20th of Tammuz and one on the 20th and one on the 20th of Av. E Rav Yehuda, listening Shavu B'nai David Ben Yehuda Shnia. According to Rav Yehuda also, it should say that the family of David had twice, on the 20th of Tammuz and on the 20th of Elul, because according to him, B'nai Odin Ben Yehuda are descended from David. So therefore, according to him, it should say that B'nai David had two times. E Rav Yosi, listening Shavu B'nai Yoyev Ben Tzruya Shnia. And if you're going to say that it's according to Rav Yosi, then you should say that B'nai Yoyev Ben Tzruya had twice, because according to him, both B'nai Pachas Moyav from the 20th of and B'nai Odin from the 20th of Elul are both descended from Yoyav. So therefore, it should say that B'nai Yoyav had the second time. The answer is La'olam Rav Yosi. You can answer that after all, the Mishnah does go according to Rav Yosi. But we can answer that there are two Tanoim who disagree what Rav Yosi said. So one of them says that those two families are descended from. So in other words, when we said before that B'nai Pachas Moyav and B'nai Odin are both descended from Yoyav ben Tzruya, those would actually be two different opinions of what Rav Yosi said. Rav Yosi himself held, in other words, that only one of those two families is descended from Yoyav. But which one? You have different understandings among Rabbi Yosi's Talmidim, which one he was saying is descended from Yoyav. So therefore it comes out according to Rabbi Yosi himself, there was actually only one time that family is bringing, but there are two Tanoim who disagree when that was, the 20th of Av or the 20th of Elul. So now Tosfos says, in that case, why can't we just as well say that there are two Tanoim who disagree within what Rav Meir says, and say it that way? And the answer is, so Tosfos says, we don't want to do that because Rav Yosi nimukoi imoi, because in general, we say throughout Shas, Rav Yosi always has a good reason for what he says in Halacha, and more often than not, the Halacha is like him even against his Chaverim. Marshall says this is a bit of a doifet, but he says the reason why the Gemara didn't want to say that there are two Tanoim according to the Meir, because that would require us to say that one of these braises disagrees with the Mishnah. When we say that Shtei Tanoim Libidei Rav Yosi, that gains for us that now neither of the braises necessarily has to argue with the Mishnah. Because after all, the Mishnah hadn't mentioned Yoyav ben Tzruya, only the Braises mentioned him. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, the Echad b'Tevis lahoya by Maimon. We said on the first of Tevis there was no Maimon because on that day you had a Hallel and a Korban Musaf for Rosh Chodesh and Korban Eitzim, because it was the second turn of B'nai Parosh. So therefore there was no Maimon by Shachlis because of Hallel, and by Musaf because by Musaf and by Mincha and by Ne'ilah, because of Korban Musaf and Korban Eitzim, according to the various opinions in the Mishnah. So Amalei Malkshisha braided of Chista Bar Ashi. Malkshisha, the son of Rav Chista, asked Rav Ashi as follows. Malkshisha literally means Mar, means the elder Mar. So in a few other places in Shas, Rashi explains that Rav Chista had two children who both had the same name, and so one of them was called Malkshisha, which means the older one, and the other one was called Mal Yanuka, which means the younger one. So sometimes in the Gemara it mentions the two of them together. Rashi in those places explains that Malkshisha is the older one, and Mal Yanuka is the younger one. Tosfos in some of those places says it's the other way around. Malkshisha was actually the younger one. He was called that because he was born when Rav Chista was older. Mal Yanuka would be the one who was born when Rav Chista is younger, so he's actually the older child. Anyway, so Makshisha Breda Rechista asked Ravashi, Maishna Halal the Dochu Diday, why is it when it comes to Halal that it pushes off the Maimed, that it prevents there being from Maimed on the very same tefillah where Halal takes place, namely Shacharis, or Maishna Musaf, the Dochu Diday? Why is it by Musaf? We're not saying, we didn't say a day when there's a Korban Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Musaf. We said that instead there's no Maimed by Mincha or by Ne'ilah, according to the different opinions in the Mishnah. Why not? Why don't we say that it causes that there's no Musaf, but that there's no Maimed by Musaf? Amalei Ravashi. So Ravashi says what the Mishnah actually means is Hashted Delavdi De Dochid De Lekoshekin. Actually, that is what the Mishnah means. If Musaf is strong enough to even push off Maimed from a different tefillah, all the more so it pushes off Maimed from its own tefillah. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, in other words, Rashi said, because when they bring the Korban Musaf, there's much more tircha involved, there's more animals to be brought as Korbanas, therefore they're busier. So Ravashi says, you're right. What it means is, for example, on a day when there's no Korban Musaf, there's no Maimed in Musaf of that day, there's also no Maimed in Mincha of that day. Omalei, so Mark Shisha says, okay, but that's not really what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, Taka, why? Why would Musaf be pushing off my modus of two tefillahs? Lo lidchi el didei. We should say that Musaf only pushes off Maimed of Musaf. Why should it be pushing off? You're saying the pshat of the Mishnah, we would say it means that when there's a Korban Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Mincha or by Ne'ilah, as a different opinion, though. Now you're telling me that it means there's no Maimed by Musaf as well as not by Mincha or by Ne'ilah. But why don't we say that it pushes off only Maimed of its own tefillah? So we should say, just like when there's Halal, there's no Maimed in Shacharis. When there's Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Musaf. Why are we bringing in Mincha or Ne'ilah at all? Amalei, Rav Ashi tells him, you should know, Ikur Rav Yosi, the Koi Kavasaf. You should know Rav Yosi, the Tana, agrees with your way of thinking. The other Tanoim don't hold that way because, like we said, Musaf involves a lot more Tircha than Halal does. Halal, you're just saying Halal. Musaf is bringing more animals as Korbanos, and it's very time-consuming. But you should know, Rabbi Yossi agrees with your way of thinking that, in fact, when there's Musaf, then it should only prevent there being Maimed by Musaf. Netanya, Rabbi Yossi, when we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Yom Sheyesh Bei Musaf, Yesh Bei Maimed. When any day when there is Musaf, there is Maimed. In other words, the Tanakama had said that on a day when there's a Korban Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Mincha or by Ne'ilah, according to the different opinions. And therefore, we said that there can come out to be a day, Rosh Chodesh Tevis, where we said there's no Maimed at all because you have Halal and Korban Musaf and Korban Eitzim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, a day when there's Musaf, there still is Maimed. So in other words, according to him, even on the first of Tevis, there would be Maimed. But we have to figure out, when do we mean? When is he saying Maimed Demai? Which tefillah of the day is he saying that there would be Maimed? Ilema Maimed de Shacharis. Do you mean that on a day when there's a Korban Musaf, Rabbi Yossi is saying that doesn't matter, there's still Maimed and Shacharis? Fine. Hal Tanakama Nami Hal Kama. So what? Fine. That's exactly what the Tanakama said. The Tanakama never said anything about when on a day when there's Musaf that you don't do Maimed on Shacharis. Now, when do you have Musaf without Halal? So for one thing, on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to talk soon in the Gemara. The Tanakama agrees that the fact that there's Musaf doesn't prevent there being Maimed from Shacharis. So obviously Rabbi Yossi is not talking about that. Ela Maimed de Musaf. You're going to say that Rabbi Yossi means that there's Maimed on Musaf. Why not? You're telling me that Musaf is so weak that it doesn't even prevent there being Maimed by Musaf? Why not? The fact is the Korban Musaf is time consuming. Ela de Mincha. You're going to say that it means that on a day when there's Musaf, when there's a Korban Musaf, then there's no Maimed in Mincha. What do you mean, Korban Eitzim Dochi? That's pushed off when there's a Korban Eitzim. Ela Lav D'Ne'ilah. So evidently, by elimination, Rabbi Yossi must be saying that he holds when there's a Korban Musaf, you still have Maimed by Ne'ilah. Shmamino D'Dei Dochi, D'Lav D'Dei Lo Dochi. So you see from that, Rabbi Yossi would say that I agree that when there's a Korban Musaf, there's no Maimed by Musaf. However, there is Maimed by Ne'ilah. So we see, says Rav Ashi, to Mauk Shisha, you see that Rabbi Yossi holds according to your Svara that Musaf should push off Maimed only from one tefillah, but no more than that. So Musaf pushes off Maimed from Musaf, but no more than that. Okay, Shmamina, so that proves it. So therefore, so in other words, it comes out, according to Rabbi Yossi, there is never a day when you don't have Maimon at all. According to the Tana of our Mishnah, on the first of Tevis, there wouldn't be, because you have a Halal by Shachris, you have a Korban Musaf, and you have a Korban Eitzim. So that covers all four Tfilos of the day. Because of that, there's no Maimon by Shachris, by Musaf, by Mincha, or by Ne'ilah. But according to Rabbi Yossi, on such a day, there would at least be one Maimon, namely, even though there's Halal and Korban Musaf and Korban Eitzim, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi would still say that there is Maimon by Ne'ilah on that day. Okay. So the question is, why is the Mishnah mentioning only on the first of Tevis when there was no Maimon, according to the Tana of the Mishnah? Why don't we say because of Korban Musaf and because of Halal, Korban Musaf and Korban Eitzim? We should say also the first of Nisan. You have the same thing. On the first of Nisan, also you have Halo because it's Rosh Chodesh. You have Korban Musaf because it's Rosh Chodesh. And you have Korban Eitzim. It was the turn of Bnei Orach, Bnei Yehuda. Omar Rava, the Rava says, Zoy Semeres Halayla de Bredesh Yarcha, Lav Daraisa. You see from that, but saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not Daraisa. It's only a minhag. Halal the rest of the days, even the fact that we say Halal on Yom Tovim and on Chanukah and whatever, according to many Rishonim, for example, the Rambam, is only Dirabbanan anyway. So what do we mean? In fact, the Rambam lists it as one of the seven mitzvahs Dirabbanan. So what do we mean over here that Halal on other days is Daraisa? What we mean is, in other words, the Nevi'im said that on certain days we should be saying Halal to thank Hashem for the Nisim He did for us. So that's why we do Halal on Yom Tov and on Chanukah. So therefore, so those days, it's not Daraisa. The Halal itself is not Daraisa, but the concept that we should go on those days and praise Hashem, that is Daraisa. And the Nevi'im accomplished that by having us say Halal. As opposed to Rosh Chodesh, we're not thanking Hashem on Rosh Chodesh for a particular nest that he did. Rosh Chodesh is not really associated with any nest. The whole thing of saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. So therefore, that minhag of saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not strong enough to push off the maimed of that day. And we see that it's only a minhag. There are 18 days a year when a yochid says the entire halal. So now, what does that mean? Rashi says it means for sure the tzibur. It means even a person who's davening by himself says the entire halal on those days. The 8 days of Sukkot, the 8 days of Chanukah, the Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach, the Yom Tov Rishon Shel Atzeres, and the 1 day of Shavuos. So that makes 18 altogether. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Masechta Erchin that says why we don't do it full Halal the last 6 days of Pesach, and the Gemara over there brings a reason. Because every day of Sukkot, they brought unique korbanos, so therefore it's like every day is a miniature Yom Tov of its own, as opposed to Pesach, every day they brought the same korbanos. So once we said Halal on the first day, we don't have to say it on the rest of the day. There's a different reason that Rishonim bring also, which is that on the seventh of Pesach, the Mitzrayim were drowned in the Yamsuf, and therefore Hashem doesn't want Shira on that day, and once we don't, on Shavuot Shel Pesach, we're not going to say that Chol HaMoed should be stronger than the last day of Pesach. We're not going to say that Chol HaMoed should be stronger than Shavuot Shel Pesach. If we're not going to be saying full Halal on Shavuot Shel Pesach, we're not going to be saying it during Chol HaMoed either. Anyway, so only on certain days are we saying that the Yochid says the full Halal, meaning that on those days, if we said Daraisa, the Gemara had said, but again, according to many Rishonim, doesn't mean literally Daraisa. It just means, in other words, it's an actual chiyu to do it, as opposed to Rosh Chodesh, which is only a minhag. Uvagoyla estrim ve'echad yoyim. Outside Eretz Yisrael, you have 21 days when you say Halal, when you say full Halal. Ve'elohen tishya simeachag, the 9 days of Sukkot, because you have the extra days, Simchas Torah. Ushmoina simeachanaka, you have the same 8 days of Chanukah. Ushnei yom rishonim shel Pesach, first 2 days of Pesach, or Beis Yom Tov, and the 2 days of Shavuot. So to the total of 21. In the Siddur, before Halal, you have a note over there that says a simon for that is the word Bevetach. We have Beis, meaning 2 days of Pesach, Beis, meaning 2 days of Shavuot, Tes, meaning 9 days of Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeres, and Chaserah, and Ches for the 8 days of Chanukah. Anyway, so we see that Rosh Chodesh is not on this list. So therefore, that tells us that the Chiyuv of Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So we see that Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not a chiyuv, it's only a minhag. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Rav Ikva the Bavel. Rav one time visited Bavel. Now we don't mean Bavel the country, because Rav lived a good part of his life in Bavel. We mean Bavel the city. just like you have New York City in New York State, the same way there was a city of Babel and a country of Babel. So Rav one time visited that city. Chazinu de Kokoru Halayla Beresh Yancha. He saw that they were saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Sovel Afsukinu. He thought to tell them to stop. What are you doing saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh? We just said you don't have to. Kiven de Chazin to come a Daugi Dalugi. But then he saw that they skip parts of Halal, like we do, where we skip Loilonu and Moahavti. Omar, so he realized Shmamin a minig of a same be a day. So he realized there's a minig that they have from their ancestors, which they still preserve that minig. So that's what we do. Why we skip dafka those parts? By the way, Mephoshim say because those the content that it says in those parts in Loilonu and in Ahavti is basically repeated in the following psukim. So if we're going to skip something of Hallow, then those are the appropriate parts to skip. So you have a good deal of discussion among the Rishonim, given that we're saying over here that Halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag, does that mean that we shouldn't make a bracha on it? Tosfos refers over here to a Gemara in Sukkah that says that you don't make a bracha on Chibut Arava because it's a minhag. So you see from that you don't make a bracha on a minhag. The Rambam, for example, writes that way. He says you don't make a bracha when you're not saying full Halal. So according to him, you don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh because you don't make a bracha on a minhag. On the other hand, Rabbi Natam says, from all Gemara over here, it seems to say that they did make a bracha, because otherwise Rav would have known in the first place that they're saying it only Mishum Minag, because they wouldn't be making a bracha. So evidently they were making a bracha. So what's the difference between that and Chibut Arava? Tosfos discusses what the difference might be, but we would, in fact, according to Tosfos, make a bracha on saying Halal, even when we're saying Chatzi Halal. So you have, it ends up being a machlokes among the poskim. Do we say a bracha on Chatzi Halal or not? And within that, you have some of the Rishonim who say that maybe you only do with Sibur, but not with Yachid. This is why you have the note in the Siddur. And then in the Siddur, you have the note over there that says that when you're davening with Sibur, then and you're saying Chatzi Halal, then the Chazan should say the Bracha and have in mind to be Motzi everybody else. With that said, there was something where the Rebbe told people privately to go ahead and make the bracha yourself and finish it before the chazan does, and that way you're able to say the bracha as well, which is in accordance with what Tosfos is saying over here. So the Gemara finishes off. Tana yochid lo yaskil. On these days on Rosh Chodesh, a yochid, when a person is davening individually, he shouldn't begin. So Rashi says it means he doesn't need to begin. He doesn't need to say halal at all. But if he does, then he finishes it all. So according to Rashi, that's referring to saying halal. There are other Rishonim who learn that it refers to saying the bracha. The yachid shouldn't be saying the bracha to begin with, but if he did, then he finishes off, then he finishes the bracha and says halal. But again, this is talking about on Rosh Chodesh and on the last 6 days of Pesach, where halal is a minhag, and therefore that's why we don't do full halal. But on the days when you say full halal, namely on the 21 days that we said before, or 18 in Eretz Yisrael, then for sure you make a bracha, because then it's like any other takana of the Nevi'im that you make a bracha. Okay. Shukayach, everyone.
Yes, shukayach.